Yeah, they're still working on the plumbing.
Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand, walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. When you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Well, good evening and happy Shabbat. We're here with Kirk and with my new assistant. I have a new four-pod assistant, Kirk. She's the cutest little yellow lab, Snow White. Her name is Asher. To show the way to the beneficial relationship is her name. She is both show dog and service dog. She's 8.5 weeks old and just an absolute bundle of joy. Both great attitude, super intelligent, and lots and lots of fun. So how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Life's good.
Good. You know, I had heard, you had told me just in the moments before we began this evening, that there was lots and lots of communication as you were making your way through the week with various people who listen to the program over the concept of Matsuyak as it was used in association with Toad. What did people have to say and think?
Well, two people in particular, and both from a Christian framework, it's so odd to hear, not to hear, associate Yosha with Matsuyak. And he really doesn't, he's not there as Matsuyak. I mean,
no, he isn't.
What he's doing. And how important that job was, but Job is Matsuyak. He's the one that opened the door, or showed his house to get to the door. Not the one that opened the door, was this Yosha. So it made a lot of sense to me. And what all these statements meant about Yosha, even if they were from the eyewitness accounts, in regards to how he actually did things. He was not chasing everybody around, trying to get them to come through the door. He fulfilled peace up. He had a very singular purpose. It was all he thought about, in the sense that, you know, it didn't mean he wasn't loving, and he didn't make some people understand. But that wasn't his job. He read the gospel, as a Christian would say.
Right. Was there any point where Yosha was anointed?
No.
Total anointing, was he?
It's a very specific thing with the olive oil rubbed on your head or spread smeared on. And that did not happen to him, nor, and that was reserved for priest official titles of king or perhaps even a priest. But he didn't have a messianic title. I mean, I looked at this every way I could think of, from the letters to the this to the that, and I looked at the commentary a whole bunch of Christian commentators, which most of them are on the lexicons anyway.
Of course.
It's just, you know, but even Shinsensis, who I like a lot, I use a lot of his grammar stuff as well, you know, he'll claim that this is the Messiah. This is Yahushua, or Jesus, if he would call him the Christ. And then he'll point, and I thought it was really interesting, let me share this with you. He points out that we know this because of Psalms 2:2. In Psalms 2:2, it's the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers of the rulers and commanders and judges gather and conspire against Yahweh, against his anointed one. Well, that's maybe at the end times, if you wish, but that's not, that was not appropriate to Yahusha's lifetime.
Right, because the kings didn't conspire against him.
Yeah.
It
was a singular
reason. It's really event. I mean, the only person that would be considered a king would be appointed Roman
Herod somebody.
Herodian, the Herod that was appointed by Rome to be over the province of Yehuda during that time. And while he briefly conspired against him, he only conspired against him when he was born as Yahusha, as an individual, and dropped it immediately thereafter, and was dead shortly thereafter. There really isn't a history of kings being opposed to. I mean, the Caesar of Rome at the time was Augustus. I don't hear of Augustus giving two hoots.
No, he wouldn't have even heard about this event.
No, there was nobody in Greece, no one in Rome, no one in Egypt, no one in Persia, no one anywhere really that cared.
The
kings of Herod did not conspire against him. Yahusha.
No, absolutely not. But even
Yahusha clearly was not anointed.
Right.
Not in the Messiah, the literal interpretation of the word to be anointed with oil for the purpose of leadership.
He never had any official title.
No, so he was not. And not only wasn't he anointed, he never had any official title. That is correct.
Right.
Toad did. And Toad was anointed.
Right.
And Yahweh oversaw the anointing and supported his anointing. And it's the kingdom of Toad that's being set up when we return, when Yahweh returns, not the kingdom of Yahusha.
Right. Well, you know, that's verse 2:2. But if you go to verse 2:6, right after it, it says Yahweh speaking about the psalmist Dode or Yahusha, which one fits. I have installed my king on Zion upon my set apart hill, my Kodesh hill.
Uh-huh.
That's not Yahusha.
Right.
That's
Dode. It's
Dode. If
Yahusha was so important, why don't we have a single word that he spoke in Hebrew?
Well, that is the real answer.
Why don't we?
Because
the language of Revelation
is the Torah. Speaking in, we already had the Torah.
Yeah.
So that was his word. The Torah was his word. He pointed to
the
Torah. The Torah, but it's like, yeah, that's, how many times did he have to say, you know, is it there? He would read from the Torah. He quoted.
I would ask you this question. Did Dode ever quote Yahusha?
No.
No. Did Yahusha ever quote Dode?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right up to his death.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and so it's, I have no interest in saying anything other than how grateful I am that Yahweh created this diminished manifestation of himself and the means that he was, the length of effort that he went to embody. body, the fulfillment of Pesach as the Passover lamb, and to have his soul endure the all of the consequences associated with matzah, and then fulfill, you know, everything that was necessary for us to enjoy the benefits of the covenant. You know, I'm extremely grateful for all of that.
Of course we
right?
are.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But
not disrespecting what he did by pointing out what Yahweh, which is he was, in the sense of he was the word, said about Dode. Dode said,
right.
I mean, Dode said, he's the Messiah. Now, let me ask you a question. Because this is revered among so many rabbis as a kibbutz. Most of these people are supposed to know the Torah. You know, I know the guy whose name was not Nicodemus, but you know, Yahusha said that Nicodemus go to the Torah. You're supposed to know this stuff. So we have to assume that anybody that's as lofty in respect as Akiva was should have read this and known that Dode was a Messiah. Now, and if you knew that, what do you need a gospel for?
Yeah.
I mean, because he came on as the as Yahweh's Messiah. What for? Dode was that. So that's how badly screwed up rabbinical Judaism is. This kills two religions, of course. Islam, I mean, that's easy. But there's the two major religion of the world and rabbinical Judaism are all claimed by the same understanding of this. Would you think?
Yes. It's stunningly important to understand the relationship that Yahweh had with David.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the relationship they had, but the relationship they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exceedingly important to have an appreciation for what was communicated about the covenant relationship through Dode,
mm-hmm.
and the Psalms and the Proverbs and even in the prophets like Samuel.
Yes.
There is more to learn there than probably any place else. It's just a shame that so few people know anything about this man other than he slew Goliath with a stone, and I think that is the stuff of legend.
Yeah. You know why I think this is really important that you put this together? It's because I think one of the hang-ups for Yehudim, especially as we get closer and closer to 2033, one of the hang-ups they have is this thing because they think Yahusha is categorized as the Messiah rather than the Lamb slain. And if I was reading this, and I'm not a Yehudim, so I didn't grow up in this rabbinic world, thinking like this, but it occurred to me that I think the best part of this book, these books will be used very shortly towards the end. And that would seem to me that would resonate more with Yehudim. Well, I've asked Jeff and some people like that about that, and I can't do that. But I would assume, I could be way off base, but I would assume that so much of this is really going to open some minds in the last day.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think you're right. I think that's something that may have been missed. You know, I came to the conclusion that Dode was, and his life, his words, his lyrics, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and what was said about him was profoundly important. And it's clearly, I mean, I have this little four-footed friend named Asher, because Asher is the single most important word in my life, because it's the word that caused me to start translating the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and particularly the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's Asher. And it's because of something that was written in Samuel. This, you know, we're quoting a passage from 2 Samuel 23:1, but this happened to be in the 11th chapter, 7th chapter, I guess, of the second book of Samuel. And it, you know, it was speaking of the relationship between Yahusha and Dode, And I think there's an extraordinarily important connection between them. You know, the same tree, different branches of the same tree. And, you know, it says that in every English translation, when he ends, I will not spare the rod. You know, I came to the conclusion that it was all trash. That's where it actually said.
Yeah.
Because what purpose would be of a sacrificial lamb, of Passover lamb, would there be if the Passover lamb was flawed?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way the Passover lamb makes any sense, and Yosha makes any sense as the Passover lamb, is for him to have been viewed as perfect. So it can't be when he sins, or even if he sins as they rendered Asher. But instead, as Asher is correctly rendered when Seth is associated with him to show the way to the benefits of the relationship. I will not withhold correction. And so, you know, there is an example of how the two are pulled together and one coming from the other, if you will, with Yosha coming out of Dod, not the other way around.
That's correct.
And so I came to the conclusion that really the most important individual in terms of conveying information that is useful to us, of being the living embodiment of what the covenant represents and how we come to know and engage with Yahweh, is Dod, because of what he said, what he wrote. And so that was the conclusion I came to. The more I would study, the more I was convinced that was the case. Mm-hmm. And the satisfaction comes from the fact that it was obvious that the Christian Jesus is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
And that any thinking Jew recognizes the Christian Jesus is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody that would speak about Jesus being the Messiah is going to turn off a thoughtful Jew.
Right.
It just can't be true.
And they do.
And they do. And so it was one thing to get his name right, Yosha. It was another to recognize that he was the living embodiment of the Torah. It was another to come to realize that he was the fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim.
Mm-hmm.
And what that represents. But it's another thing altogether to realize the most important Yehudim in the history of Yehudim is Dod.
Absolutely.
And that if you are a thoughtful Israelite, that ought to be very reassuring and very appealing that someone has found the truth, is conveying what God actually said from the language he actually revealed it, and that it's not trying to promote a Jesus Christ as a Messiah. In fact, the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
As in fact, telling them that the person who can provide the information they need to know to re-engage with the creator of the universe is Dod.
Yeah.
And that it's his home that is right down the ridgeline from Yahweh's home. And that to be a Zionist is a good thing, because the thing that connects their two homes is Zion. The Zion's posted along the way.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so when you realize that there is nothing more important to Yahweh than to honor his promise, and his promise is that he's going to reconcile his relationship with Yahudah and Yisrael in the last days. And to realize that we've come up with a powerful means to do that, not because it's that we haven't come up with it, that we have correctly assessed that Yahweh provided the means to accomplish that by revealing the testimony, the lyrics of Dod. Now we know that plays an enormously important role.
Yeah.
Anything that's important to God. You know, I have so many religious people that would talk about what do you say in your prayers? And, you know, and don't pray. Why would I want to pray? I'd much rather listen to what God has to say. It's the last part of the being. And people, you talk about, how do you know it's God's will for your life? Well, God's really clear about what his will is.
Yes.
if you unify your will to his, you're pretty much there, aren't you? And his will is to reconcile his relationship with Israel and Yehuda. Make a contribution to that by correctly conveying what he had to say, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be in the center of his will.
That's comforting. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So anyway, I hope that we didn't cause people to great anxiety.
I don't think that yet. I think it was just stunning that the realization sometimes that actually that's not what we were taught, you know, sort of thing. And it's and it's not even debatable whether it's true or not. It's absolutely
no. Now, there's only two moments in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms that you see a reference to Mashiach and Yosha. There's only two. And both times, Mashiach is not used as a title.
Mm-hmm.
Neither time is it presented with the hay that you would expect on a title. Both times, Mashiach is used as an adjective to modify messenger. And so it's a messenger that has been set apart and dedicated to a particular purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So, and it's in Daniel, and it's in a part of Daniel that we don't even have the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's only those the two statements, and they're very close together, and it's not... Even there, it's not Mashiach, but Mashiach. Mashiach is a term that's used 22 times, and it's a name, and it means, the one who is set apart and engaged and devoted to Yah. But Yosha, it's a real stretch to say that he's anything other than a messenger set apart from Yahweh to convey, to do a specific job, which was fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Makkorah. So, with Dod, we know for certain that he was Mashiach anointed. So, now these are the last words of the prophet Dod. Is there any place where we find in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, these are the first, these are the last, these are the words of the prophet Yosha?
No.
So these are the last words of the prophet Dod. Is it possible to be a prophet of Yahweh and have your words be anything other than 100% accurate, meaningful, purposeful, valuable, truthful? I mean, look, you're going to be a prophet of Yahweh if a man who is proven to have spoken for Yahweh, Shemuel, calls you a prophet, then everything you said is true. So here are the last words of the prophet Dod, the beloved. The son of Yishai, meaning to be, to exist, from Ish, this very substance of existence. So then declared the one man, the Geber, the individual, who stood up, who was raised up, and was established Kum by the Most High, anointed of the God of Jacob, the pleasantly melodious songwriter of Israel.
Pretty clear, huh?
Wouldn't you love that to be said of any of us? But, you know, I'm grateful that we just have access to someone that God said this about.
Yeah.
But he is the one man who stood up, was raised up, and established Kum, you know, the Kumbaya of campfires, who stood with Yah. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking with someone the other day. A good friend of mine came and spent a better part of a week here in my home in South Florida. Kind of a business associate from years back, but just a man that was an extraordinarily nice man. And the last morning we were together, we had this whole long conversation about the covenant in Yahweh and religion and politics and you know, what it what was required to engage in a relationship. And he, you know, he said that he wanted to pursue that. And, you know, he said, you know, what do you believe? And I said, I don't have any beliefs. You either know or you don't know. No reason for belief. You either know or you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, it's been interesting. He says that you might think that to be used by Yahweh to convey his message was an honor, that it was something that you would thump your chest and say, God, aren't we special?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, Ben, this was also part of, you know, why is it that it is unfair that for thousands of years no one had access to the information you have access to, so they would have had no way of knowing who God is. And I said, yeah, that's true. You know, as we discovered, was very sad one day when Yahweh invited him into his home, and he noticed that the doorway to Yahweh's home was open, and yet not a single person walked through, not one. And here's the creator of the universe with the best deal ever offered humankind, and he wants someone that he can work through to tell his children, here I am. And for a better part of 2,000 years, he found no one, not a single person he could work through. So the very fact that we were willing doesn't make us special. Doesn't make us important. It's just that the preponderance of people have been so indoctrinated that they weren't willing. They didn't even know who to listen to, much less how to respond. And, you know, I was just looking for someone that was willing. And you didn't have to do much of anything because the message has already been conveyed. It was just a matter of sharing it. But here is Dode. He's the one man who was kumbaya, raised up and established by the Most High. Now, that differs a lot, Kirk, from where we are today. You and I and those who convey this message, we're not kumbaya. Well, we do stand with Yah, there's no question about that. But in the sense of being raised up and established by Yah, well, that's not our role.
No.
Our role is to convey what those who were kumbaya had to say.
Excellent.
You know, our role is to accurately communicate what Dode said, because Dode was inspired by Yah. And we can be inspired by accurately appreciating the message that was conveyed through him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was established by the Most High, anointed Mashiach, specifically designated, chosen for a specific task, set apart from that which is common, and authorized to serve as an agent, bequeathing greater responsibility regarding a specific function and mission. So now that you know what Mashiach means, Kirk,
mm-hmm.
How much of that is effectively communicated by the Christian Christ? Does the Christian Christ mean specifically designated?
No.
Does it mean chosen for a specific task?
Well,
does it mean approved? Is there anybody that would equate Christ with set apart from that which is common, authorized to serve as an agent?
Yeah.
Specific responsibility regarding a function and mission?
No.
Not there's not a word of that. that is recognized in the term Christian, the Christian term Christ?
No.
And is there any part of Christ that is either a translation or a transliteration of Mashiach?
No.
So is there any possibility that Yosha, the Christian Jesus, Yosha, the actual person that, you know, that the caricature of the Christian Jesus was loosely modeled after, is there any chance that he was the Mashiach?
No.
Oh. And by the way, he is the God of Jacob, not the God of the Roman Catholic Church.
That's
not the God of the Presbyterian or the Baptist.
Yes.
Not the God of any church. Not the God of Christianity. Not the God of Islam. He's the God of Jacob. It's interesting that he would say of Jacob is that he didn't say the God of Abraham, of Adam, or Noah, or Abraham, or Moshe. Didn't say the God of Yosef either, did he?
No.
He's the God of Jacob.
That's pretty telling when you think that's the father of Yehuda and Israel. Well, it's the father of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And you also have Jacob's troubles. I mean, if you really start to tie all these things together, this is the most appropriate thing to say. And it absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah, I think there's another reason, too, for Jacob here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, if you really look at what transpired with Jacob's experience, where I think he wrestled and was tempted by Hasatan,
mm-hmm.
and was offered things that that only Hasatan would think of offering, and he said no. And that because he dug in his heels, and he said no, and he was steadfast, that the God of Jacob is the perfect one to juxtapose against whom? The one who stood up, was raised up, and established, because Jacob speaks of digging in one's heels, of being established, on being able to be pulled to a drill. But it's also by Jacob. Jacob says two things. One is covenant. The other is Israel. Covenant and Israel. Both of which are important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, speaking of Dode, he calls Dode the Naim, the pleasantly melodious, the acceptable, the favorable, the beautiful, the sweet sounding singer and songwriter of Israel. Yeah, first and foremost, they're lyrics. These are lyrics to songs. And they're set to music. One day we'll be able to hear them in the original language, in the melody that was established for them. But isn't that a marvelous introduction to the life and the work of the most beloved of Yahweh?
Absolutely. You know, songs, just to throw in a little sidebar, I mean, you know, songs is the way children learn so much to begin with, to remember. I mean,
uh-huh.
To song, music is a lot easier to remember long swaths of material. Because they sung with it. So it's, I'm sure all these songs were sung by many people, many young Israelites.
You know, when you look at so many of the people that were inspired by Yahweh, Moshe is one.
Yes.
Another would be Yashaya, Yirmiya, Hosea, Zechariah.
Zechariah, right.
They all spoke for Yahweh. But you don't find a engaging father-son personal relationship between God and them being established, do you?
No, it's really a beautiful relationship. It really is.
Yeah, this Dode relationship with Yahweh, his father-son, it's deeply, deeply personal, loving, caring. Yeah, God really loves this man. He doesn't call the Yashayah, the deep, the superbly melodious, does he? He doesn't call Zechariah anointed, does he?
No.
He doesn't say that Moshe was kum. So this is an entirely different kind of relationship, the one that we should all want to have with God.
Yeah.
You know, we typically think of Dode as the boy who slung the stone, or the king who reigned over united Israel, but very seldom as a prophet. And yet his Mizmor, his Psalms, particularly the 22nd and 88th, provide the most accurate and compelling assessment of what would occur 1,000 years later in Jerusalem while Yosha was fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Makotah.
You know, no one says that in the Christian world.
Right.
Really don't. I've never heard a sermon on that saying, you know, this is the guy who told us more, because that would distract from them teaching the New Testament. And they can't say that.
So here's what Dode could say, that very few people could say. The Spirit of Yahweh spoke through me.
Yeah.
And his word, his statements, and his reasoning were upon my tongue. So, he was one of the few men who could accurately say that God spoke through them. That God's statements, his words, his reasoning were upon his tongue. Now, while we can't make that claim and don't want to make that claim that the Spirit of Yahweh spoke through us,
don't need to either.
Because it changes everything. You know, we have to be precisely accurate 100% of the time. And, you know, it's a burden that none of us want to bear. I think that couldn't be anything better than being able to read the testimony of someone through whom this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be you and me than Dode.
Absolutely. I'm not mad enough to be Dode.
You know, all the benefit without the responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in eternity, Dode's a really special guy. You know, it's the kingdom of Dode. It's Dode's home on Zion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that responsibility. But that man was up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would put him in the five most influential people for good in world history. And I don't know who you'd put ahead of him. The God of Israel has spoken to me. The rock of Israel is a word picture conveying symbolic meaning for man, correctly and appropriately conveying a reverence and respect of God. So after he says that he was inspired to speak God's words, he refers to Yisrael as the rock, solid, unchanging, reliable. Well, that being the case, there can be no Christian New Testament, can there?
No.
You can't have a doctrine that says that the previous doctrine was unreliable.
No, that's important. I was reading Question in Paul this morning, and it was just, gosh, it just slaughters Christianity. I mean, I'm just reading the front part again, for I found them on the shelf to bring some upstairs, and I went, gosh, this is just, well done, my friend. That was pretty beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, it's the truth is so obvious. It's amazing that we all missed it so long. So he's saying that God's unchanging, the rock. And he's not the rock of the church. You know, the stupidity of upon this rock I will build my church. Of Roman Catholicism? No. The rock is of Israel. He is the rock of Israel. He is the Zion and Moriah of Israel. It's a word picture conveying symbolic meaning. Moshe olive, and we talked about this a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
What Dode said is that the God of Israel has spoken to me. Mashals. Mashals are the Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
For man, correctly and appropriately, Sadak, accurately, conveying a reverence and respect of God. Yare, an appreciation for the awesomeness of God. So similar to the light of morning, when the sun rises during the early part of the day, when it's best to observe, consider, and reflect, Mokur, without obscuring phenomenon, this radiant light radiates knowledge. From the rain, green and vibrant growth emerges out of the land. What are you talking about there, Kirk?
I'm sorry, I was skipping some things.
Yeah, he's just identified the fact that the creator God of the universe has chosen to convey his words through him.
Yes.
Now, that's pretty powerful. And that he refers to God as the rock of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word picture, symbolic for man, correctly and appropriately conveying a reverence and respect for Yahweh. And then he said what he's learned. He would equate to light. It's the ore. It's similar to light. Particularly the morning light of thought and consideration during the early part of the day, the prudent time to search and the best time to seek, inspect, and think.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun is rising in the early part of the day, when it is best to observe, consider, and reflect without obscuring phenomenon. This brilliant light radiates knowledge. So he is telling us that if you want to know God, ponder the influence of the perspective provided by light.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll come to realize that Hebrew verbs are like light and that they exist in time. You'll come to realize what Einstein had to say at E equals MC squared, which is energy and matter are the same things, just different amounts of the same thing. So as Yahweh transitions us from matter to energy, we're going to be enormously empowered. And as energy, we become immortal. And it explains why the universe is as it is. I was talking to my son today, and we were contemplating how important Einstein really is to having a proper perspective on God. Because he not only explained this relationship between matter and energy that is so essential to understanding what the benefits are of the covenant, he was also instrumental in explaining to us the nature of light and the relative nature of time as it relates to light, all of which provide these extremely essential insights into how we can perceive the universe as it was created and what God intends for us. That's what's being conveyed here. It's just that Dode is conveying it 3,000 years before we would know what Einstein had revealed.
Yeah, that's perfect, yeah.
That's what it means to be inspired.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I got up very early the last two mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So you've inspired me to get up.
You're a night person.
Yeah, I'm a night person, but I can do it. I've been thinking a lot about two things. I read a book the other day on, I think, quite a very good artist, and he's very articulate about light and what we're trying to, because I talk about it all the time on how to two-dimensionally make something appear in space and to appear three-dimensionally. And I talk more about light, not because of this. I mean, I always did, but I always found it really amazing that when I got into yada yada and stuff, that I've been using that metaphor a lot, and certainly reflected light and how it bounces back and what it does and how you warm colors and cool colors and how like going down warm, bounces back up. So that's almost like my theme all the time. If I can get a student to understand that, they can actually make things look very three-dimensional, which is very curious. But I think the studies over the last few years on Einstein and putting that together has been absolutely brilliant as far as helping people like me to understand something so technical that seems quite simple when you think about it, not to diminish it. I'm just saying, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Light at this speed, and then you start thinking about Yaw viewing the world, and it's moving very rapidly to him. A thousand, you know, as a day is nothing. I mean, it's like a blink of the eye. And I mean, and all of a sudden you start to understand why he wants you to, at least I do, I seem to understand now why it's so important that we transition to light so that we can have an eternal existence with him. Otherwise, it just makes no sense.
Otherwise, there is no eternity. There's no perfection. No. There's no eternity. So you have to be light, which is why this whole idea of having a resurrected body
is utterly
stupid, because it's counterproductive. It negates all the things that are being offered here. So Dode is using cause similar to light. It's in a way he's turning back to the beginning. As I say that Sukkah, beginning in 2033, is a 1,000-year celebration of the conditions experienced in the Garden of Eden. Well, it was during the creation account that God equated himself to light. And so he said where he used the term Bokor, the evening and morning of the first and second and third days, as he went through the time. And here, Dode is making this connection between Or, light, and Bokor, time.
Uh-huh.
When the sun rises during the early part of the day. You go ahead.
No, another thing that struck me about Sukkah is so many times you look up in lexicons and they will be talking about this is a temporary shelter. And when it dawned on you, that's the thing, you think, well, 1,000 years, that's a long time from our perspective. But from Yah, it's nothing. And then it's over and we move on to the new world. And it all of a sudden makes sense. And it just so your original statement about Einstein, that is amazing that we have that option now to look at through his eyes and say, wow.
So much benefit. And maybe it's timed so that we can reach out to the children of Israel who are, Einstein was Jewish. Most brilliant scientists in our world are Jewish. And maybe it's those brilliant scientists combined with what Yahweh inspired through these Yehudim that collectively will resonate with today's Israelites.
Yeah.
And that they will remove the obscuring phenomenon, the lo'ab of the rabbis and of Israeli politics, and instead focus on the Noga, the brilliant light that radiates knowledge and benefits from that which is dashe, green and growing. Indeed, my house is not appropriate, neither fitting nor proper with God. And yet, by contrast, he has constituted and facilitated an everlasting family covenant relationship for me. It is properly ordered and suitably structured in every way and readily observable, because this is the totality of my salvation. In addition to everything I desire, he will not cause it to grow. Here's a Dode recognizing that, as he always did,
mm-hmm.
his home's not adequate for Yahweh.
No, and it's very
simple. Yahweh, the seven-dimensional construct, and the best man-made home is not adequate for Yahweh. So let's not pretend that we can make him a grand sanctuary.
Yeah.
It's silly. And Dode is reinforcing the notion that contradicts all of Pauline Christianity, where the Pauline Christian would say if you violate one aspect of the Torah, you were guilty of violating all of it, and we can be by it.
That's the beauty of
all Jesus. And yet, what Dode is saying is, There's nothing that's appropriate nor proper nor fitting about God with me. You know, I'm a blood guy. And it reinforces the fact that the entire purpose of the Torah is not to condemn the perfect, but instead to save the imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dode is saying here. And what is he focusing on? When he's transitions now to standing with God, to equating God to light, to being constituted and facilitating in an everlasting family covenant relationship. Yikes.
Everlasting
into perpetuity. And how in the hell can there be a New Testament, a new covenant? If the one with Dode is forever, and then it's reinforced by the fact that Yahweh is reestablishing the kingdom of Dode when he returns, and he only has one covenant, and it is everlasting, you can't have a New Testament. Sorry, it's over.
There's no wiggle room either.
Well, it's just over.
I liked your, I marked it here. I liked your definition of salvation, Yahshua, Annie, my, you know, where it says my liberation and my deliverance and my safety and welfare is it's the things, the tangible things that Yahweh gives, Dode gives us all. I mean, it's that's a good definition. I underlined that. I like that very much. But yeah, it's no way you can have anything else. What could you improve on?
Yes. And the very fact that there's this correlation between light, standing with Yah, being anointed by Him, and being in the covenant. This is the Bereth, an Olam Bereth, an eternal and everlasting family relationship for me to approach and come near. It is properly ordered and suitably structured in every way and readily observable because the totality of my salvation, my Yasha, in addition to everything I desire, is there. Everything we need to know about the covenant relationship was available to Dode. And to Dode, there existed the Torah and a small smattering of the prophets. And he realized that the covenant was properly ordered and suitably structured in every way. And that it was easily observed. And the whole story of Abraham is easily observed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the totality of our salvation is right there. Kirk, it couldn't be any clearer, any more matter-of-fact, any more profound, any more wonderful than this.
No.
And yet it's all negated when we replace Dode with Yosha and misconstrue their names and their purpose.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that for the Christian-oriented, or the Christian, is that then you start looking at what, if the key man is Yosha, or Jesus, as they would say, then I better go read what Jesus said, or what they said Jesus said. And then you would not return to the Psalms. And everything, Yahweh wants you to read the Psalms. He didn't inspire him because he didn't want us to, and there's no way you can, there's no debate on why we don't have anything from Yosha in Hebrew that's been well protected. It is not a contest. He's already said these things before Yosef showed up. I mean, it's just that. I know where he wants me to read, what he wants me to understand. Dode helps me understand it. And it's all the scientific stuff that you've done and these research, these little sidebars you go off in this great research, and you start thinking about those sort of things, and you go, wow, this is just... what a wonderful time. I mean, this guy knew it, and now you can actually see it scientifically in a scientific way. Wow.
Yeah, I love Doug's last words. And this is another statement revolving Doug, David. And this testimony is part of what I consider to be among the most revealing prophecies in the whole of Yahweh's revelation. And as we dive into 2 Samuel 7, beginning what's called now the 12th verse, what you're going to find is Yahweh speaking to his most beloved son about his son through the prophet Nathan. And Nathan means gift. It reads, indeed, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will take a stand home with your offspring to show the way, Asher. And there shall come and to show the way after you, and shall come out from your physical being. I will establish accordingly his kingdom. So indeed, when your days are complete, this is done, then you lie down with your fathers. I will take a stand with your offspring. So he's speaking of continuing what he did with Dod. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
After you, which to show the way, shall come out of your being. So that clearly, Yosha, if this is speaking of him, came out of, was derived from the source. Yeah, it was Dod.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a lot more than just being in the genealogical line. Because as importance go, that's only important if Dod is stunningly important. And Dod is only stunningly important if his psalms, his lyrics, his testimony is stunningly important.
Yeah. That's probably.
So I will take a stand with your offspring, which to show the way shall come out from your physical being. And I will establish accordingly his kingdom. Malakahu, his reign, his realm, his royal authority. He shall build the family home for my name, and I will establish accordingly the throne of his kingdom and an everlasting witness. You know, you read these words, you're a bit thrown back. Yosha clearly did what was necessary to enable the Bayat, the family home of the covenant. He clearly bore Yahweh's name. All fits. And he will establish accordingly. And eternal witness through him. All that is true. But isn't Dod also an eternal witness?
Absolutely.
Isn't Dod's kingdom eternal, everlasting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he could be talking about one, the other, or both.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I view it that way. I think I even made a note somewhere about that where Yosha established it, you know, like the foundation of it. He made sure the door is open and so that you can, so there's a doorway. But the builder of it is Dod, because he's the one that we keep, that is the one who really spreads the witness, the testimony to anyone who's looking. And so you can find a way through the door. I mean, to me, it just totally fits like a glove on their two separate roles on what they do. Yeah.
Yes, and one role is one we can identify with, one we can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
The other is not. I can't relate to being the Passover lamb. I can't relate to being the living embodiment of the Torah. I can't relate to fulfilling matzah. Can't relate to those things.
No.
But I can relate to Dod. And I can benefit from his words, his testimony. And he said, and I will always, and will actually and always be for him as a father What more do you need to know?
No.
What more do you need to know? You know, if God is consistent, as Dode has and so many others have pointed out, ought we not follow Dode's example so that God can say of us, I am his father, he is my son?
That's my goal.
That's my goal, too.
Yeah.
You know, ought we not think that one through? Because there's no one else that Yahweh said, I will actually and always be for him as a father, and he shall always and actually be for me a son. Explains the purpose of the universe.
Yeah.
God would have created it all for Doug. But there'll be thousands more there, including our family, the covenant family of Yahweh, through what we've been able to share. Kirk, I don't know what's more important than realizing that God said of Dode, he is my son, I am his father. Why isn't the whole world trying to figure out what it is that caused God to say that about Dode?
Well, that's a pretty heavy statement, too. I mean, how would else? You can't just slough over that. I mean, you've got to, that's a big deal. I mean, it should be a red flag, like, wow, this is the dude.
Yeah, this is the guy. The guy that has accomplished what we always do accomplish, to be with children. And I will always and actually be for him as a father, and he shall always and actually exist for me as a son.
Mm-hmm.
Which through this association and to show the way, Asher, with him becoming burdened with perversity, I shall resolve the dispute by judging him, accusing him so as to manifest vindication through him because of the rods, the weapons, the staves wielded by the rulers and nations to punish and kill and to control the races of mankind, and because of the assault and that plague that has fallen. Wow. Upon the children of Adam.
Let me suggest a minor point here on your translation here, what I would have added personally, where you have Shabbat, because I also know that it's a written implement and a pen or a stylus. When I see that, and you also say Nagah, which is a plague, a mark of infection, a plague of death, even on Paul, the thing that has oppressed so many, including us when we were younger, is the plague of death, is the writings of. And I even thought through, I mean, my gosh, by the time you get through social secular humanism or communism or any socialist brand was promoted by a book, you know, like Mein Kampf or Engels and Marx's, my mind is gone, but the Communist Manifesto, you've got, and it turned into a religious zeal. You've got, obviously, the New Testament. You've got the Rebbe, Talmud. You've got Islam, for God's sake. That's the infection and the way it was spread and just so much. So, I mean, if I was looking at Shabbat, I would probably include a little side. I mean, telling you, you don't tell me how to paint. I should never tell you how to write. But, I mean, I would have added that as to include the aspect of being a writing implement, because that's how it spread the plague, you know.
Yeah,
so
correct. I agree with that.
But
in this reinforcement, and I will always and actually be Anihiah for him, towards him, as a father. And he shall always and actually exist, who Hiah, literally and continually be for me, as a son.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of creation. That's the purpose of the covenant. That's the purpose of Yahweh's testimony. That's the encapsulation of everything that's important.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said it twice.
Yes.
I mean, he really wants you to get this point. This is really
right.
Important.
Asher, which through this association to show the way, Asher. Through him becoming burdened with perversity. This is that place where Asher so profoundly changed my life, and really I would say that everyone listening to this program, it changed your lives as well.
Yes.
With him becoming burdened with perversity. Through this association to show the way. I will resolve the disputes by judging him, accusing him, so as to manifest vindication through him. A marvelous use of Yaka, who, because of, with respect to, and for the reason of, the rods, the weapons, the staffs wielded by the nations to punish and kill, to control the races and tribes of mankind. That is why he had to fulfill Pesach. There are no good human civilizations. They go from bad to rotten. And because of the assault and the plague that has befallen the children, the Ben of Adam. Wow.
Yeah.
This is why the whole concept of Pesach, Matzah, Makotim, and Yosha's fulfillment of it, to show the way for the benefit of the relationship. Yosha's body and soul were committed to resolving the dispute, vindicating through him. You know, if Christians were, instead of holding up their gruesome crucifixes with dead God on a stick, would instead realize that this is the fulfillment of Pesach and emphasize Pesach, the fulfillment of Matzah and emphasize Matzah, understand what these things lead to in terms of Bikurim. And the fact that all of this was done, the means to resolve disputes, was because of mankind's propensity to fall. For the assault and plague of death that has emanated upon the sons and daughters of Adam.
Billions. Yeah.
Billions.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I know you had this conversation on one show you were talking about you had with your son in regards to, we're talking history, and I'm totally on the same page with him in regards to, there aren't any. And the first thing he says is walk away from societal customs, societal politics and so forth. I mean, it is so straightforward when you get into it, you go, oh, yeah. I think that's why we couldn't put the book down when we first started. It was yada, because we're saying, yeah, that's right. Well, that makes total sense. And everybody I know has come up with the same thing. But this is so simple. I mean, society sucks, and still they're trying to put it back together. They're trying to say, well, if we just tweak it, America would be...
And look how many people today, Kirk, have foregone religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a Bose car, and a fellow was working on it today, and he was, I brought up my old dog. I come up from Ocean Reef on the Keys, and I said, my dog's name is Asher. And he looks at it, what kind of a name on that? And I said, that's a Hebrew name. It means to show the way to the most beneficial of relationships. And, well, that's when they hear you, Jewish dog. But I like Hebrew. And, had fun translating the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and much of it from the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's really a marvelous and fun thing to do. I said, the name of the boat is Kara. It means to invite and welcome. It's what God is inviting and welcoming us to each year. The seven meetings. And to find people just so open, so aware that religion and politics are corrupt and counterproductive. In fact, he was mentioning that, I guess, yesterday a woman was sworn in, a Muslim woman, on a translation of the Quran. And the things she had to say, just, what in the world is wrong with us? And, you're right, what in the world is wrong with us? And we're just so corrupt. Have gone so far astray. And my goodness, what in the world is wrong with us? And the message is, as you say, the message is so clear. It's so obvious what God had in mind for us. So what in the world? You know, are we so far afield from the truth? But 7:14, it says it all. I will actually and always be for him as a father. And he will always and actually exist for me as a son. Now, I tell you what, the Torah cannot condemn. If God is saying that for all time, Dod will be my son.
Mm-hmm.
It has to save, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And through this association to show the way, with him becoming burdened with perversity, I'll resolve the dispute by judging him, accusing him, so as to manifest vindication through him. Because of the rods and the weapons and the staffs wielded by rulers of nations to punish, to kill, to control the races. He's talking about religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the assault and the plague that has fallen upon the children of Adam. You know, the greatest two plagues in human history aren't the Black Death, it's not the bubonic plague, it's not Ebola.
No.
The great plagues are religion and politics.
No.
And you look at the history of humankind and the great civilizations and how just disgusting they were.
Yeah.
And how condemning they were of the average person. But they don't hold a candle to the deadly nature of religion. You know, I was talking to another person today, and we were talking about how bad a shape Europe is because of all the Muslims they brought in. I said, it's very much like identifying a continent where 90% of the people were plagued by Ebola. And bringing those plagued with Ebola into your country.
What they say to that?
I don't know, the world is wrong with our thinking. Yeah. But Dod will always exist as my son. Through this association and to show the way. I will resolve and resolve the dispute by judging him, accusing him, so as to manifest a vindication through him. You know, there are places where Yahweh accused of, you know, I call him a man of war. You're not going to build my home because you're a man of war.
Yeah.
But yet, vindication has been brought through Dod just as it has been brought through Yahusha.
Yeah. It's not going to end.
And both were the antithesis of the rods, the weapons wielded by nations and by the religious to punish, to kill, to control the races of mankind. Because they're all an assault and a plague that has befallen the children of Adam.
Well, that was some bad stuff he did, and Yahweh got mad at him. He didn't walk away from him. He didn't say, okay, you're no longer my son. That made me think about Moshe when he struck the rock twice. That changes the story. You know, that's what that was. I don't know whether that was the actual thing that kept him out of going into Jerusalem or into Israel or not, but I'm thinking that was the big deal. I think Yahusha was going to go in anyway. It was going to lead the people into the promised land or into the, Israel, but that didn't destroy the relationship. Moshe still is on the Yahweh, and Dod is still everything he says right here. Hey, you know, and
also, it's marvelous to use the story through him because it tells us that God's not expecting us to be good or to be perfect.
No, and we can really screw up.
This man was deeply flawed, and we can relax too. Therefore, you know,
Something. I was reading it today. I mean, this week. Yeah, it's very comforting to know Yahweh still loves you. Boy, that's really great.
Yeah. Therefore, my steadfast love and enduring mercy will not be removed from him, nor diminished, as I turned away from and completely rejected any association with Shaul, whom I forsook and totally removed from your presence. Okay, you know, there's...
Now, that proves...
All the way through this, Kirk, I've been hinting at the fact that the person being discussed here is actually Dod.
Yes.
You know, to a lesser degree, Yahusha, but mostly Dod.
Yeah.
but now
but that's
we're dealing with that
exclamation mark there.
Statement here that doesn't give you any choice. He's talking about Dode.
Absolutely. Because Shaul wasn't even in Yosha's mirror.
Right. First of all, Yahweh's steadfast love and enduring mercy were removed for a moment from his soul with Yosha. Now, he went to Sheol. Dode didn't go to Sheol. There was no port where Dode fell outside of Yosha's mercy. Just that.
No. Yeah.
And was never diminished. You know, Yahweh doesn't say, hey, listen, you're a man of war, therefore I don't love you so much. No, he just said you're a man of war.
He didn't even diminish
you. You're not going to build my my home.
Yeah, you make him a second-class citizen, second-class family
mm-hmm.
member. Still way up there. He's still the number one guy.
Yeah.
He just said, I ain't going to let you do this.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
And then he says, I'm not going to turn away from you. But what did Yosha say? My God, why have you forsaken me?
Well, he's forsaken me. You know,
why have you turned away from me? Why have you rejected me? He set us up. He was saying that, Yosha was saying that he was, in fact, rejected and turned away from when Dode is saying, or Yahweh was saying of Dode, that he never would turn away from him, would never reject him.
Yeah, the rejected cornerstone.
So I'm sorry. He's not talking about Yosha here. He's talking about Dode. And the fact of the matter is that Shaul was removed from Dode's midst, but Shaul was not removed from Yahweh's or Yosha's.
Yosha's,
With Yosha, Shaul entered the picture and never went away.
Yeah.
With King Saul, he was taken away, killed, completely removed, forsaken, totally removed from Dode's presence.
Yeah. That was my notation there at the bottom when I did this with you. Well, I say I did it with you because you'd already done it, but then I was, absolutely, it's a slam dunk. This is Dode.
Mm-hmm. And so much of this is important. It's, like commentary I'm reading here that, and it's true that by saying enduring mercy was on Dode, well, the pervasive myth in Christianity is that the Old Testament represents an unforgiving and wrathful God, whereas the New Testament, the new and improved God, is merciful. And yet, here in Samuel, we find Yosha telling his beloved son Dode that his enduring love, his mercy is steadfast. Oops.
Yeah.
But more importantly, he's talking about Dode because Shaul was removed from him. But I do think it's also important to recognize that in many places, there is a correlation between the two. They're different branches of the same tree, both essential. And to recognize that from God's perspective, both men named Shaul were rejected. Both men named Shaul were the adversaries of Dode and Yosha. Right.
One politics, one religion.
Right. One military, one religion. King Saul, Shaul, was not a religious man. He was a political man.
Mm-hmm.
And the wannabe apostle Paul, Shaul, was a overtly religious man.
Yes.
And God is saying, no, I'm rejecting and removing both of those influences, one for my beloved son, Dode, and the other for Yosha.
Don't you find it so telling? I mean, wow.
Yes. Same man. Same name.
Yeah.
Represents the same thing. And so your family and your position of authority is trustworthy. Totally trustworthy and dependable. Firmly established and credible and enduring, Aman. Forever and ever as a continuing witness concerning your approach and your presence. Your throne and position where the empowered are entitled to sit shall be. be established forever as a witness. Well, forever is a really long time, isn't it?
You ain't kidding. Ain't it great?
And so if this message regarding Dode and Yahweh's mercy through him, if and Dode's place of the covenant family, and Dode's whole and complete disassociation from Shaul, if that is eternal, trustworthy, and dependable, if Shaul represents the plague of death in both Yahusha and Dode, then, and God then goes on to say, and so your family, the covenant family, in your position of influence is totally trustworthy and dependable, firmly established, credible and enduring, Aman.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that so few people care about what he had to say? Why do so few people value him even near the credibility of Yahusha? I mean, these are not rhetorical questions.
No. Well, I know.
It says that Dode is totally trustworthy, dependable, firmly established, credible, and enduring. Well, then let's pay attention to what he had to say.
Now,
let's look at how he lived his life. Forever and ever as a continuing witness. And that's been my point all along, and I think it's your point now, too. The thing that makes Dode important is that he is an eternal witness of what it's like to capitalize on the Torah and to become part of Yahweh's family. He's an eternal witness. And, you know, I guess we can't overemphasize this. There is no point where God chooses to do things alone. His whole modus operandi has been to communicate through, to work with mankind. Mankind. And so he chose to convey his nature and his purpose and the means to engage in a relationship with him through this fellow named Dode. And you might say, well, why wouldn't he just do it himself? Well, beyond the fact it's contrary to the entire purpose of creation, I don't think God could have. I don't think there's any way for God to have conveyed this himself. And I say that for a lot of reasons. One of those is that if God engaged unilaterally and didn't work through Dode, then he's negating the entire purpose of creation.
Yes, it just becomes dictatorial.
Right. Yeah, if he imposes himself through this powerful voice and that sort of thing, then he's negating free will. Right.
Yeah.
He's negating free will.
Exactly.
Right. And so nothing really becomes more important than establishing a trustworthy witness that is part of creation. So we can see how God and he interacted. It's the whole thing of the story of the covenant. God could have simply said, here are the five conditions and here are the five benefits. So have a nice day. Or he could have conveyed those five benefits and those five conditions through a relationship that he developed with a singular individual, Abraham.
Much better teaching tool.
Oh, and he's demonstrating the purpose and the benefits of the relationship by conveying a relationship through a relationship.
Right.
That's what he's doing here. He's saying that Dode is my ongoing and continual witness because he was my prophet, because he was my son, because I spoke through him. His words were on my words were on his lips. And he then says, you are thrown in position where you are empowered and are entitled to sit, shall be established forever as a witness.
Olam.
Forever as a witness. toad's home is, in fact, eternally associated with Yahweh's home.
Yes, the upright pole is Zion, if you wish. I mean, it's the symbol of.
And that toad's home is an eternal witness for who Yahweh is and how we're to engage with him. It's the reason that toad's home is right below Yahweh's home, and that they're connected when the Yahweh returns.
This is the way.
Pay attention. Pay attention. This is the toad is the witness. Yosha's not the witness. Toad is the witness. If you're a Yehudim, pay attention to what he wrote, to what he had to say. Cherish his testimony. And even if you only spend a couple of hours a day studying what Toad was inspired to write, it'll transform your life.
Yeah. I love the comments you've used once or twice, and maybe twice, but I know once at least that, you said... That's one of those moments where you could have inserted, that'll blow the, what'd you say, that'll blow the crosses of the conscience. That
yeah.
is funny. Stop me in my tracks.
Here you have an enduring and loving father-son relationship. And goddamn Christianity has replaced it with dead God on a stick.
Yeah.
Here's it being said that Doge's testimony is readily observable. And the covenant relationship with Yahweh is readily observable. And they replace that with the obscurity of religion. I mean, why? Why do such a thing? Now, everything you need to know God is there. Now, even the two conversations I've had the last couple of days about being part of the covenant and who Yahweh is, and everybody wants to know, what do you believe? Stop it with belief. You either know or you don't know. Don't know.
Yeah.
If you study his testimony, you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know who God is, that he proves his existence, that he tells you exactly what he is expecting from us and what he's offering us. You can know. Stop it with the beliefs. You know, we were doing this because of some activity, this idea of branching out, of being, associated with the Doad, and how it means to be in God's image. And I do think this whole image of Doad is, in fact, specifically what God intended, Father and Son.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
And these last 4 or 5 days I've had my son here. And no idea just how wonderful it is to be able to engage with an adult child. And Yahweh is celebrating that with that Doad. Now, my son's not perfect. He's the finest young man I've ever known. Most extraordinary young man I've ever known. Brilliant and rational. Kind. Man of character. Interesting. And he's funny, and yet he's well-rounded, he's insightful, he's a spectacular communicator. He's just the finest young man I've ever met. And I know how much joy it brings me to be around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Toad was that for Yahweh. And I would tell you that my son is that for Yahweh as well. And I get to see, I get to have some personal insight as to why God is celebrating this relationship with Toad based upon the relationship I have with my son. It's all so marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
So simple, so clear. And Toad is the living witness of what Yahweh intends and how we can come to know him. Sure, a lot better than faith and religion, isn't it?
Oh, see. Indeed.
Well, we've come to the end of our program, and it's
Let me share one last
time, Kirk. Yeah, go ahead.
I pulled off this little note here that I haven't looked at for a long time. It's Ms. Moore, Psalms 119:33. And it says, Yahweh, Yara, Derek, Choke, Ra, Netza, Equib. Yah, teach me, enable me to learn the way of your prescriptions for living, and I will habitually observe it, the Torah, and be saved by her as a benefit till the end of time. Well, I think you got all of that. I love that little verse. It just resonates with me. What a beautiful thing. Exactly.
Why don't you email that to me?
Sure.
And let's begin on that this time a week from now.
All right.
And I agree with you. It's just sometimes it's nothing more than just the simplicity of all of it, and the fact that it's reassuring.
Yeah. Well, Doe just had a way of hitting the nail on the head all the time. He's just amazing.
Yes.
I mean, obviously inspired, but it came through his mouth. I mean, this guy just go, wow. How do you say it any more succinctly than that? How do you put that together? He just phrased everything.
Yeah, and as much as you and I enjoy what he had to say,
mm-hmm.
I also enjoy what Yahweh had to say about their relationship.
Oh, yeah. No argument.
Yeah, it just doesn't get any better than this. And, you know, I know that we began the program trying to reinforce the reasons that we've come to appreciate Dode as the ultimate branch.
Mm-hmm.
As the one who is Mashiach, as the eternal witness of Yahweh. And Kirk, the primary reason we see it that way? Because Yahweh sees it that way.
He did it that way. It's his perspective. We're trying to
it's Yahweh's perspective.
Yeah.
And any time we accept, acknowledge, embrace, enjoy, share Yahweh's perspective, our perspective is right.
Yes.
In other words, our perspective on the importance of Dode is validated and therefore correct because it is a perfect match for what Yahweh had to say in this regard.
Here, here.
You can't be wrong if you agree with Yahweh.
Yeah. Well said.
And that's where we are here.
Now, you will notice in about 3 more months, if your dog is sitting there and we get to another message with that many ashers, it's going to get him really upset. What? Me?
What?
Did you call me?
Yeah.
Did you call me?
Yeah. It is fun to be able to use names like Kara on the boat and Asher on this irresistibly cute puppy. I mean, everybody that I've encountered in these last 4 or 5 days has come up and just been totally enamored with this beautiful dog. But she is just so cute, so lovable. And to use that as an opportunity to explain her name and what it means.
That's good thing.
And how we came to know that name.
Yeah. Cool.
How it just turns little things into something wonderful. So, yeah, I'm celebrating that. And I know there might be some people that would say, how dare you take a word that's so important to Yahweh and name a dog after that name? Well, the dog is very much central to the whole idea. The dog is the epitome of a loving relationship. And the dog is such that what a marvelous way of using that name on this loving animal to convey what God had to say and why it was so uniquely different than what we've been told. I just think it's a way of celebrating and honoring what God said, not of diminishing it in any way. I don't think
that hasn't been so. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take Yahweh's words and you make them part of your life, you integrate them into your life, and then use them to lead other people to him and to share what God had to say, I think it's just marvelous. You know, one of the people I was talking to a few days ago, a really good friend, and he said, you know, you'd probably be more successful if you marketed this a different way. I said, but my goal isn't to be successful. Well, it says you want to save people, don't you? No, I don't. I'm not capable of saving. It's my job. I'm not even trying to be successful. I love what God had to say. I really like him. He's really a likable guy. And I trust him. I enjoy his company. And the more I learn, the more I want to share what he had to say. But what people choose to do with it is up to them. The last thing I want to do is convince somebody to accept this who's innately religious or political. It's just going to make a mess of everything for all of us. Man, I don't want to be the guy that God turns to and said, that jerk over there is making everybody's life so miserable is only here because that idiot saved him.
You don't want to say nice things like this. No, you don't want to hear that.
No, I don't want to hear that. I mean, what I want to hear instead is loves Kirk. He's his favorite artist and enjoys his relationship with Terry, and that they are having the most marvelous time together. And to get no credit for that other than to know that somewhere along the way that something I did and conveying Yaz's message played a role in that. That's what I want to experience. Yeah, but this other, no, thank you. Yeah, that's what we all want to experience. We don't want to be, what God say. That guy, man, he was really successful in promoting my word. No.
I like what you said initially when you made a deal with Yahweh. And you said, I'm not going to do this. You're going to have to be there with me to help me. I mean, you want to work with me, and I want to work with you, but still and all, I can't do this. You
right.
do this.
And I won't do this on my own.
Done. And I'll show
and then I went one step further and said, I've got one skill set. At least I thought I had one skill set. But I said, one thing I'm really good at, marketing. So here's the deal. I don't do any marketing. I'll devote the time. I'll have fun doing this with you. But I don't want to market, because the moment I rely on my strength, then I'm going to start taking credit for this, and I'm going to become self-reliant, and that's a really bad place to be. So here's the deal. I don't do any marketing. It's your message. I want to have fun sharing it. But you convey it to whomever you wish. Introduce whomever you wish. And you be responsible for lifting it up. Oh, it's just take all of the burden away from it here. So you're not, as this fellow said, I'm not trying to find the best way to market it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a job. The job we all have is to know what Yahweh said and do the best we can to accurately understand and appropriately convey what God had to say. And, well, nothing more is required of us. And it would take all the fun away from it, wouldn't it? It became a business.
And yes, it would. Then it becomes, then it becomes a religion.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't want it to be a business.
Yeah.
I just want to enjoy it.
You're not rushing through anything. If you want to spend there, I'd kind of drug you back today to go back over there just because of a couple of folks who said, boy, that's really, they were impressed. Not impressed, but as much as they were just astonished at, wow, the concept of the Masiyak, being on Dove and not, using it to
that's not our interpretation. That's not our opinion.
No, that's Yahweh's.
That's just what the words say. All we're trying to do is correlate our understanding so that it's in sync with what Yahweh had to say.
Yeah.
That'd be good enough.
Yeah. That's what he says. There's no way around it.
Right. That just ought to be good enough.
Yeah.
And I'll let the chips fall where they may. That's what God had to say. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but that's what he had to say. The more we align our understanding with his, the better off we're all going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
The more we'll learn. Quicker we'll learn.
Yeah, the more we're going to learn. Makes it special. Well, I want to bid you tonight. I'm looking forward to getting that passage, and we'll begin there in a week. And I'm glad you brought up the concerns that some might have of referring to Dode as Yahweh does as the Mashiach. And why, you know, Yosha is very, very important, but Yosha is not important for his testimony. Yosha is important for his fulfillment.
But yeah, let's put it in the roles of what Yahweh had everybody do. And that
Dode's not important for him for what he did. Dode's important for what he said. Yosha's not important for what he said. He's important for what he did.
Very good. You are a good writer.
No, it's just the message is so clear, it's so simple. If you view Yosha as Yahweh fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and Shavuah, ultimately leading to Kippurim and Sukkah, you understand him. And if you look at Dode, not as the young man who threw the stone through the sling, but instead as Yahweh's lyricist, as Yahweh's witness. And it's not about what he did, but what Yahweh said through him, that you are given a clear and unmistakable path to the covenant. The two branches of the same tree.
Like Zion. That's why I put him in Zion. Oh, wow.
Correct. Yeah. One represents Zion, and so does the other. One is the word of Zion, the other is the deed of Zion. You know, one is the upright post upon which the sign is positioned, the other is the sign. The words on the sign. Note is the words on the sign. Yosha is the post that those words are set upon.
What's the correlation? Yahusha's blood is sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. You know, and that was the tradition with the lamb.
The Passover lamb.
The mercy seat was just mentioned here a few minutes ago, and that was the chair of the throne that is occupied by Dode.
Yes, Dode is the guy that mercy seat was created for.
And the blood allows him to sit there. Wow, very good.
There are two branches in the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
And one comes from the other.
That'll be preached in every church next Sunday, correct?
Right. You know, is there any place that you read that Noach was told to go off and share this message with the world and to promote it?
No, I think we.
How about any place where Abraham was told to convey this message with the world and to promote it?
No.
Is there any place where Dode was told to go sing this song to everyone so loud that it was the message of the world, and that he drowned out everybody else, and that it was his job to promote his act? So that the whole world heard his songs. You ever hear him say, did God say that to him?
No, I've considered that. It's absolutely
not. No. As a matter of fact, with each of the prophets, like Yeshua that we're studying, is God saying, you better go and tell this to everybody?
Well, he told
you to think of the best way to promote this. No.
Yeah.
He's not saying that of us either.
No. So keep that in front of us. Absolutely.
Yeah, make it available, celebrate it, enjoy it.
And
share it with those who are interested. But celebrate it as part of a family. And those who are interested in being part of the family, wonderful. But first they really ought to know who God is, that he proved his existence, that he can be known.
Mm-hmm.
Find out whether or not they like him. And then if they like him, do they agree with his terms and conditions? They're willing to accept them.
Yeah,
there's a lot that goes into this.
I mean, you have to realize that's a really odd concept when they first read it. And you think, see if you like him.
See if you like him. No. I always speak of God in a way that really, I think, makes people very uncomfortable. where, yeah, we were talking about, you know, I'm anti-religious, but the fact of the matter is, religion doesn't make me anti-God. It's, I rather like God. We're buds. He's really a cool dude. That's not demeaning God.
No.
That's no, he really is a cool dude. I really do like him. We are buds. I mean, God is extraordinarily likable, approachable, fun, smart.
Okay, in a Lord.
Right, a great conversationalist. Extremely compassionate and supportive. Uplifting. He's the antithesis of a religious or political person that wants capitulation, his ideas about emancipation. Freedom. You know, he's not about bowing down, he's about lifting up. You know, he's not about worship, he's about getting down on his knees to lift us up. He's just so cool, so perfect. But perfect in a comfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love him. I like him.
Yeah, amazing. Perfect and
comfortable. Yeah, I'm in love with him. I love him. I like him. Respect him. I'm humored by him. The whole thing. Yeah, the real God is worth knowing.
All right.
With that, my friend, I bid you get together this time
next week.
All right. Good night, my friend.
Good night. Good night.